December 22, 1926. Signs that we belong to the celestial family. How God usually does his works first one-on-one with the creature. So he did with his mama. The greater is the work that Jesus does, the more it carries within itself the image of divine unity. I was thinking about the supreme fiat, and I prayed my sweet Jesus to give me the grace, so great, of making me fulfill his most holy will entirely and completely, and of making it known to the whole world, so that he might be reintegrated into the glory which creatures deny him. Now, while I was thinking of this and of other things, sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me, "My daughter, what is the purpose for which you want my will to be fulfilled in you and to be known by all?" And I want it because you want it. I want it, so that the divine order and your kingdom on earth may be established. I want it, so that the human family may no longer live estranged from you, but it may be bound once again to the divine family, from which it had its origin. And Jesus, sighing, added, "My daughter, your purpose and mine are one. When a son has the same purpose as his father, he wants that which his father wants. He never stays at somebody else's house. He works in the fields of his father. If he finds himself with people, he speaks of the goodness, of the ingenuity, of the great purposes of his father. It is said of this son that he loves his father, that he is his perfect copy, that it shows clearly from every aspect that he belongs to that family, that he is a worthy son who carries within himself, with honor, the generation of his father. Such are the signs that one belongs to the celestial family, to have the same purpose as mine, to want my own will, to dwell in it as in one's own home, to work in order to make it known. If one speaks, she can say nothing but what is done and wanted in our celestial family. It is recognized in clear notes, from all aspects, with reason, with justice and by right, that she is a daughter who belongs to us, that she is one from our family, that she has not decayed from her origin, that she preserves within herself the image, the manners, the bearing, the life of her father, the one who created her. So, you are one from my family, and the more you make my will known, the more you are distinguished, before heaven and earth, as a daughter who belongs to us. On the other hand, when one does not have our same purpose, little he dwells, if at all, in the royal palace of our will. He is always going around, now to one house, now to a vile hovel. He is always wandering in the outdoors of passions, doing acts unworthy of his family. If he works, he does it in foreign fields. If he speaks, the love, the goodness, the ingenuity, the great purposes of his father never resound on his lips. So, from his whole bearing, he cannot be recognized at all as one who belongs to his family. Can this one be called a son of his family? And if he came from it, he is a degenerate son, who has broken all bonds and relations which bound him to his family. Therefore, only one who does my will and lives in it can be called my child, a member of my divine and celestial family. All the others are degenerate children, and as though foreign to our family. And so, when you occupy yourself with my divine fiat, if you speak, if you go around in it, you put us in feast, because we feel that it is one who belongs to us. We feel that it is our daughter that speaks, that goes around, that works in the field of our will. And for one's own children, doors are left opened, no apartment is closed for them, because what belongs to the father belongs to the children, and in the children is placed the hope of the long generation of the father. So, I have placed in you the hope of the long generation of the children of my eternal fiat. My mind continued to think about the supreme will, and I said to myself, "But, how can it ever be that, by myself alone, this little being so insignificant, for I am good at nothing, I have neither dignity, nor authority, nor superiority with which, maybe, I could impose myself, I may diffuse myself, speak in order to make the son of the divine will known, and so be able to form the children of its generation?" But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus interrupted my thought, and coming out from within my interior, told me, "My daughter, it is my usual way to do my greatest works first one-on-one with one creature alone. In fact, my mama was one, and with her alone I carried out all the work and the great portent of my incarnation. No one entered our secrets, or penetrated into the sacrarium of our apartments, to see what was passing between me and the celestial sovereign. Nor did she occupy a position of dignity and of authority in the world. In fact, when I choose, I never look at dignities and superiorities, but I look at the little individual within whom I can look at my will, which is the greatest dignity and authority." Even though she had neither position, nor dignity, nor superiority in the low world, heaven and earth hung upon the height of the little young girl of Nazareth, because she possessed my will. In her hands was the destiny of mankind, the destiny of all my glory, which I was to receive from the whole creation. So, it was enough that the mystery of the incarnation be formed in my chosen one, the only one, in order for the others to be able to receive the good of it. One was my humanity, and from it came the generation of the redeemed ones. Therefore, it is enough to form all the good at once within one creature, to be able to release the generation of that good, just as one seed is enough in order to multiply by thousands upon thousands, the generation of that seed. So, all the power, the virtue, the ability which is needed for a creative virtue, is in forming the first seed. Once the first is formed, it is like yeast, so as to form the generation of it. In the same way, one soul is enough for me, who would give me absolute freedom to enclose in her the good I want, and to form in her the son of the supreme fiat, in order for this sun to pound with its rays on the surface of the earth, and form the generation of the children of my will. Now, you must know that all of our greatest works carry within themselves the image of divine unity, and the more good they are destined to do, the more good they enclose of this supreme unity. See, also in the creation there are similes of the divine unity, while these are single works, they do so much good, which the multiplicity of our other works, altogether, do not do. Look under the vault of the heavens, one is the sun, but how many goods does it not contain? How many does it not do to the earth? One can say that the life of the earth depends on the sun. While the sun is one, it embraces everyone and everything with its light. It carries everything on its lap of light, and it gives a distinct act to each one. According to the variety of things it invests, it communicates fecundity, development, color, sweetness, beauty. Yet, the sun is one, while the stars are many, but do not do the great good which the sun does to the earth, though being one. The power of one single act animated by the creative power is incomprehensible, and there is no good which cannot come from it. It can change the face of the earth, from arid and deserted into a flowery spring. Heaven is one, and therefore it extends everywhere. Water is one, and even though it seems to be divided in many different points of the earth, forming seas, lakes and rivers, yet, in descending from heaven, it comes down in one form, and there is no point of the earth in which water does not reside. So, the things created by us which carry within themselves the image of divine unity, are the ones which do more good. They are the most necessary, and the earth could not have life without them. Therefore, my daughter, do not think that you are alone. It is the unity of a great work that I must carry out within you. Or that you have no external dignity and authority, this says nothing. My will is more than anything. Its light seems to be mute, but in its muteness, it invests the intelligences and makes one speak with such eloquence as to stun the most learned, reducing them to silence. The light does not speak, but allows one to see. It makes one know the most hidden things. The light does not speak, but with its meek and sweet warmth, it warms, it softens the hardest things, the most obstinate hearts. The light contains no seed, no matter, everything is pure in it, One can see nothing but a wave of refulgent, silvery light, but it can penetrate so much as to make the most sterile things generate, develop, fecundate. Who can resist the power of light? No one. Even the blind, if they do not see it, they feel its warmth. The mute, the deaf, feel and receive the good of light. Now, who will be able to resist the light of my eternal fiat? All of its knowledges will be more than rays of light of my will, which will pound on the surface of the earth, and penetrating into the hearts, will bring the good that the light of my will contains and can do. However, these rays must have their sphere from which to start. They must be centered at one single point, from which to rise in order to form the dawn, the day, the afternoon and the sunset within hearts, to then rise again. The sphere, the single point, is you. The rays centered in it are my knowledges which will give fecundity to the generation of the children of the kingdom of my will. This is why I always repeat to you, single quote, be attentive, so that not one of my knowledges may be lost. You would make a ray be lost from within your sphere, and you cannot even comprehend all the good it contains, because each ray contains its own speciality of good, which it must do to the children of my will. You would deprive me of the glory of that good for my children, and you would deprive yourself also of the glory of spreading one more ray of light from your sphere.